Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Wisconsin. Hope you all are having a great start to your day out there. Welcome to the Morning Show on WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We got some fun stuff lined up for you. Going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit. Got a great story for you or two, and going to touch on our schedule and some local great things in our area. But it's a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open. We have some exciting news to share. Yay. If you were listening at the beginning of the last hour, you heard our segment now has a sponsor.
Woo! Yeah!
Woo! Yay! I'd like to give a big thank you to the Hotel Meat for sponsoring the Kitchens Open. If you haven't been in a while, they have made some exciting updates. You can go check out the Whitney for a wonderful meal or head over to the Grand Avenue Tavern for some drinks.
Yeah, I've been over to the Whitney. Mm-hmm. Once or twice. Very good food there. Looks like they're Italian is kind of where the way they're going, and it's very tasty.
Yeah, so, and they've very got, good. They've got some live music and drinks that you can have out on that patio outside of the Grand Avenue. So lots of fun things happening over there. And maybe while you're there, you can get a sandwich.
All right.
This month is National Sandwich Month and National Panini Month. So I thought we'd spend some time reflecting on the history of this meal option.
I love sandwiches. They are one of my favorite things. If you can put it between two slices of bread, I'm there.
If we had stopped as a society with sandwiches and we never made any other type of food, like that was it. Yep. Every food was served in sandwich form. I'm all right, too. I'm
there
with you on this.
There you go. Yeah.
The slice of history I know about the sandwich is that it's named after the fourth Earl of Sandwich.
That's right. According to the website history.com in an article, who invented the sandwich? They say, we call the sandwich a sandwich because of the fourth Earl of Sandwich? Yes. Was he the first person to come up with the idea? Not at all. So even though we think it's named after him, he's not the one that did it. So the article says the truth is we don't know who invented the sandwich, but it has existed in various forms for thousands of years. One of the earliest known sandwich eaters was Hillel the Elder, a rabbi and scholar who was born in Babylon and lived in Jerusalem during the first century BC. The Haggadah, a Jewish text read during the annual Passover Seder, recounts how Hillel made sandwiches using paschal lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened matzah bread. In Jewish tradition, during the Seder meal, participants remember this by eating their own matzah sandwiches.
Oh, genius.
Yeah.
Absolute genius.
One of the earlier memories I have. Matzah sandwiches. Yeah. Man, that brings back memories.
I wish we was, you know, sandwich is a name that doesn't really describe what it is.
Right.
So I wish we would have come up with a better name before the Earl of Sandwich got all the credit, you know, for doing this.
And is it just bread? Or if I remember, matzah is a more like a cracker type bread.
Yes.
So it's a lot crispier. So it's harder to eat it as a sandwich.
Yeah. Not so the perfect.
No. Not the best vehicle for that kind of thing.
When did we stop naming things after the person that invented it too?
Like, yeah, that's a good question.
Like everything was done that way for the longest time. Yeah. And like everything was named after a last name.
We should start calling it the Hillel. I think we should we should try to get that caught on.
There you go.
Got my Hillel here.
The matzah sandwich is the Hillel. Yeah. I mean,
and really nice pronunciation, Beth. I know it goes without saying for you, but it's nice to hear. It's just really nice.
You're welcome. I did my research on that one. And what do we determine as the bread for the sandwich? Because would we consider a hamburger a sandwich?
Oh, the old thing.
Because that's a bun.
That's true. I would call it a sandwich.
Right? And then there's the taco, which has more of the consistency of the matzah.
Right.
That's
so
true.
So is that a sandwich or is it not?
You might have convinced me.
And now,
because of that, with the matzah sandwich, that a taco may be a sandwich now.
It depends on who I'm talking to. I am not an easily swayed person on most topics on this one. For some reason, I just like, you're right. I have no like willpower on this one. Like I bend to whatever I'm hearing because it's such a convincing argument almost anyone.
You don't don't have a horse in that race, huh?
I really don't. I'm right. Like, okay, yeah, that's a sandwich. Sure.
Sure, why not?
Well, the article goes on to say that it's not clear why the English politician John Montagu, a.k.a. the 4th Earl of Sandwich, became the namesake for the food we call a sandwich. The first known use of the word sandwich comes from the diary of the English historian Edward Gibbon on November 24th, 1762, he wrote about seeing men eating, quote, a bit of cold meat or a sandwich, end quote. But there's no mention of the Earl being the namesake.
Oh, maddeningly, you know, obscure. It's just,
Then in the early 1770s, the French traveler writer Pierre Jean Grosley published a gossipy and satirical book called A Tour to London, or New Observations on England and Its Inhabitants. In it, Grosley described a scene at a gambling table. The word sandwich does not appear in Grosley's book, but many people assumed the scene in the book, which Grosley may have made up, referred to the 4th Earl of Sandwich. In any case, the name, which people like Gibbon were already using, caught on. By at least the mid-19th century, sandwich was so common that English-speaking people were using it as a verb to describe the process of placing something between two other things, as if one were making a sandwich.
Wow.
So a sandwich, theoretically, could also be with two pieces of lettuce.
That's true. That's as long as it's between something, right? That makes sense.
It almost feels like anything between something is almost a sandwich.
Yeah. You know? According to that definition.
I love the idea of this. If you go, you know, in the afterlife, you ask the 4th Earl of Sandwich what a sandwich was, and he'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I don't know what a sandwich is. That's my name. What do you mean?
Exactly.
It's like asking like Abner Doubleday, how about that baseball you invented? He'd be like, what?
Right.
What baseball? What is that? Right. Yeah.
So one type of sandwich that has become popular in the last decade or so is the panini. This Italian sandwich has an interesting backstory all on its own. In an article on the University of Wyoming Extension website entitled Pressed for Dinner, by the way, great title, The Panini. Originally, the panini had working class Italian origins. Whether you're referring to one un panino or more due panini or panini, the first sandwiches were made with a simple recipe, a single filling, usually meat, paired with rustic bread. Cured meats such as prosciutto, salami, and pancetta were often used because they didn't require refrigeration. Panini was usually eaten on the go as a quick meal or snack and wasn't toasted or grilled, which is not how we're used to seeing the panini. In our minds, it's always that grilled
sandwich.
Get that
grilled marks on it, right? Yeah, yeah.
So somewhere along the way, however, a crucial discovery was made. While a regular panino is good, a toasted panino is even better. Today, many people use an electric countertop grill or a stovetop grill pan and press grill to cook both sides at once and get that perfectly toasted, crunchy exterior paired with a warm and melted interior. So again, the original panini had only the meat. No condiments, no cheese,
just
nothing.
Really simple. Yep.
Yeah.
Bread and meat, basically. Well, I love the idea that we're doing it wrong, too. We've been saying it wrong. It's the singular.
Yeah.
I would like a panino, right? Instead of panini is the plural, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and often we think of a panini as one half of the sandwich. So technically, a panini would be both halves, which would be two, right?
Yeah, okay.
So if you only wanted one half. Try and go in and order a panino.
Go to Panera Bread and do that. Yeah,
there you go.
I kind of want to do that. Yeah,
What? What are you talking about?
Well, and then you can educate them. Well, that's actually the plural of.
Yeah.
So,
please just order the sandwich.
Over the years, the panini has grown in popularity, and ingredients began to evolve into pretty much what we know now. So the rustic bread, such as ciabatta, francesco, a small French-style roll, and focaccia, became the signature foundation of the sandwich, not sliced sandwich bread. So that's another difference between what we understand as a regular sandwich.
Those are considered rustic breads, which is fantastic. I love that. It's not nice bread, you know, like slices. No. This is rustic. This is
what has a nice crunch to it. Think of using, like, if you're going to use sliced bread, use the heels of the bread that nobody likes to eat anyway.
That's my favorite part.
He likes crust. Right?
My Nana, for every meal I ever had that she made, would save on the French bread, would save the end pieces for me.
Perfect.
Put them right there for me.
There you go.
Oh, God, I love that one.
Well, people also began to experiment with fillings then, right? So meats used in panini included salami, prosciutto, capicola, mortadella, pepperoni, ham, roast beef, turkey, chicken, and bacon. So just about any kind of meat that you would want to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Cheeses from mozzarella to brie became standard, which adds welcome depth of flavor. Vegetables, including tomato, arugula, eggplant, or grilled squash, brought garden fresh taste and texture. Pesto, herbs, mushrooms, roasted red peppers, marinated artichoke hearts, pickles, olives, and balsamic vinegar were added to balance and complement flavors. The combinations really are endless and make each panini an individual dining experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My gosh, it's the versatility of the sandwich. You can basically do anything you want with it. That's what I love about them.
Sandwiches are great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things ever.
And the fact that you can still call a sandwich a panini without it having to be that grilled panini. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
If you don't have a panini press or something like that at home, you can still make a panini.
Got your ciabatta bread there. Just throw something in between and you're good to go.
And if you want to go throwback, just do a piece of salami in the middle
you're good.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be fancy or elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Or create your own recipe with it. Mm-hmm. And if you do, include it in our recipe book that we're going to be putting out as part of our anniversary. You can do that by stopping by our parking lot party on August 20th. We'll have sheets for you to fill that out.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
So once again, as we come to a close, I do want to thank the Hotel Mead for sponsoring, our segment. Whether you're looking for a great meal, a night out, or a place to hold your next event, the Hotel Mead has you covered. For more information on all they have to offer, go to www.hotelmead.com. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. All right.
Another
near
great
and dear to my heart.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Big thank you to the Hotel Mead. We appreciate them buying local, supporting local, support our friends over there. And nice work, Beth.
Thank you. Nice work,
as always. That's fun. Looking forward to the next one next Monday. Be on the lookout for that every Monday at 10 o'clock, everybody. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll take a quick time out, come back, and have some entertainment news for you on the morning show here at WFHR.
Tell me something.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring.
Thank you, Miss Sinatra. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate Beth and the Kitchen's Open and the Mead. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Great way to kick off the hour. Great way to kick off a Monday.
And I actually ate a sandwich while you guys were talking about sandwiches. And it was literally the right kind. It was unhealthy white bread with butter and bologna.
Okay. Perfect.
Perfect.
Yes.
Love
that's
it.
A good sandwich right there.
Simple sandwich.
It's my brother's special right there that you just made. That's awesome.
It was a childhood nostalgia thing, and I had gotten the white bread for Pudgy Pie, so I had to use it, right? I couldn't just throw it away.
Well, no, you can't do that.
You got to get bologna to eat it with.
There you go. That's funny.
We're going to get into our main topics in a moment, but I wanted to do a story that we could kind of continually come back to from week to week every once in a while. And so I've got one here, and we'll kind of come back to this one later in the week, maybe next week. Seth and I last Friday did an article on songs that artists have played the most.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And this got me thinking about, well, what are songs that you hear on the radio and you will never turn off? You will listen to no matter how many times you've heard.
Yeah.
So I want to get that going. What are songs you never get tired of?
Okay.
That's the topic. So I want to hear from you guys out there, 715-424-2600. Call or text in with your answers as well. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to them. You can also bring those answers down to Lunch by the River or to we're going to be at that this Thursday. This Saturday, we'll be at the Bridge to Bridge event.
Yes, we will.
We'll talk more about these things as we go along. Mm-hmm. And of course, our open house that we'll be touching on a little bit later also.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe you're signing up for the newsletter and you want to include it in there or something. You know, any of the above.
We got lots of ways to get it here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get it to us. There's a spot for comments there.
Yep.
We're looking forward to that. But your dog could be the next Air Bud. Yes. Oh. Yes. Now, I will warn the audience. I came across this article this weekend. So I have had a little bit of Saturday, mostly Sunday, to train my fur brother Sammy how to dribble a basketball, how to dunk, how to do a crossover. Now, Sam hasn't picked up any of this. In fact, Sam's just about as big as the basketball. And it should be it should probably be noted that Sam is mostly blind now. And he can't see very well.
He enjoyed listening to you bounce a basketball and talk at him?
Yeah, this is pretty much, it was a one-sided conversation. Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to ride his coattails if he gets this job, man. I'm going to take the breaks where I can get them. A few weeks ago, it was announced that a new Air Bud is in the works called Air Bud Returns. Now the search is on to find the new Air Bud.
Wow.
And it sounds like the most adorable casting sessions of all time. Keeping up with the legacy of the character, the search is for a purebred golden retriever only. If you think your fur baby could be the next star, you could submit an application online.
Wow, an open call. That's cool.
That is, you can go to airbud.com and find the online application there.
All right.
Even if your golden isn't chosen, you are still eligible to win prizes like Air Bud jerseys, signed movie merch, or a trip to the premiere in Los Angeles.
Wow. Huh.
That's fun.
That's actually not a bad idea.
I love this.
Yeah.
Now, what is a way to get people to want to come to movies? What is a way to get people to care about movies that they might not otherwise?
Animals.
Get them in. Well, yes, absolutely. 100%. Nicely done. Well done, Melissa. Very well done. You could be a movie producer.
Nothing but animal movies.
But getting them involved. An article that Seth and I have been talking about the last couple of weeks over on the Sunrise Show at 105.5, join us 7 to 9, is Luke Combs and what he's doing with his next album.
Yes.
And he used this term loosely and jokingly, but I think it's a good one, crowdsourcing.
Crowdsourcing, yeah.
He's got like a bunch of songs out there, and he's saying, hey guys, tell me which ones should be on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of anything like this before, and I think it's such a cool idea.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, Luke Combs is one of the bigger artists in music, not country music. Like, he's big. He just did Coachella. Was it Lollapalooza?
One of the two, or maybe both.
A country artist has never done before. Right. And he's also done all this without anybody blinking an eye. Yeah, that's a country artist. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's doing this and kind of like trying to do pop country or anything like that. Like, if anything, it's a little more rock country than it is anything.
Right.
So I think that that is a good note there. And it's also incredible marketing. An incredible idea.
Engagement,
You feel an attachment to these musicians already.
Mm-hmm.
How attached are you going to feel if you got, I helped pick the album
out. I picked that song.
I mean, and just think about this, though. I want to quickly touch on the idea of throwing, because he's putting demos out. So he's only going to complete, do the full production on the ones that are chosen. So he's putting out like works in progress.
Which is cool.
I don't
know. Yeah.
And
there's
brave.
Some artists. It is. But there are some artists that I found that I loved. Janet Devlin is a really good example of this. I loved her really early stuff before she signed on with a record company because it was her. You got to hear her raw, and raw. It's very well polished.
Right.
But it's still
more
kind
lo-fi,
of like the,
yeah.
Right, but what he's doing is similar to that. It's like, okay, here's some rough drafts. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool.
So you still get to hear the finished product when they get he puts it all together for the new album. I mean, it's a really great
hopefully
idea.
Hopefully, it doesn't change too much because that's what happened with Janet. Bummed about it.
That does happen occasionally. Yes.
Interesting little note, the original Buddy was a dog named Buddy who was trained to play basketball. He was on America's Funniest Home Videos and Letterman. As soon as I read this, I remembered him being on Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember that.
Totally makes sense.
And sadly, Buddy passed away before any of the sequels and everything.
Sure.
That's
really cool.
I like this. And I will say this part, too. Have a real dog, not a CGI dog.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I'm so glad that they're doing that.
Yeah. I where technology has gotten, and I got done raving about the new Superman movie and Crypto and that, and how amazing that the graphics were. If they had told me that was a real dog, I would have believed them. Like, it was that good. I don't know. I've been really racking my brain. I don't know if I've seen any better example of CGI than that. than that dog. I think it's maybe the best example. I would go to like some of the early Matrix movies and some of that, but even that's more about camera work.
Yeah,
it,
right.
This dog is straight up just digital, and it's incredibly well done. All that said, use a real dog anytime. Use an animal anytime you can.
Yeah, right, right. As long as it's safe and they're well trained,
and that the animal is having fun.
Yeah, exactly. It.
I like the idea too of putting together a team of animals to play basketball. I like this. I like this. I also think pigeons.
Hey, they do it with donkeys.
Yeah.
That's true. Donkey basketball. That's,
they do that in Adams County. It was interesting.
Now, I wouldn't be able to audition right now anyway. I am taking the next couple of months off of auditioning so that I can focus on directing and all the work that we got here. Mm-hmm. So directing and directing. Program directing and directing.
Lots of directing going on.
But I would audition for this if I could. It doesn't look like they have an open casting call for people. It's just the dog.
Yeah, who cares? We got the other actors. We don't care about them, but
it's
we want the bud.
Fair. I don't like
new
that.
Bud.
I do think that it's pretty going to be harder to find.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who actually took the time to train their dog to play basketball and also wants to be in a movie.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
And is a purebred golden retriever.
That too. That
which right. I would like to. That's one little thing I would like to see them. You know, not be so needy of. We more than people than not have not purebred animals.
Right.
And I think that you would bring a lot more, you know, relatability with a mixed breed animal. But I get it, too. I mean, Labradors are beautiful. They're beautiful dogs. Mm-hmm. I get it.
We actually had one when I was a kid. It was my brother's dog. His name was Prince. He would have done better with football.
Nice.
Because he loved playing football with my brother and his friend, and he always was in for the tackle. That was his position.
Well, and dogs, as we can hear, dogs are impossible to tackle. Like they would
wiggle out of anything.
Putting a dog on a football team, and that's the end of the game there. Yeah.
You can just point him toward the end zone there.
I know one movie I won't be auditioning for, at least anytime soon, is Goonies 2. There were the sequel that has been teased for almost two decades now.
Seriously.
Is still out there and all that, and it hasn't gotten greenlit or anything, but if it does, Josh Brolin is all on board. One of the things I like about Josh Brolin is in his interviews is he's a very smart guy and really, you know, but not going to put on airs and really kind of let stuff out whether he intends to or not. He is going out of his way, but like he'll bring up bad movies even when the interviewer isn't. Jonah Hex is one of these ones that just out of nowhere he'll bring up. And how he surprised, I think it was one of them where they were asking him about a movie that didn't do well recently. And he said, well, I survived this, or Jonah Hex, or
seriously,
something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was along those lines. And one movie, if you go back, and I'd love to see somebody piece this together, almost every interview he will bring up Goonies.
Really?
Even if it's not brought up, just because he loves that movie so much and that time in life and that experience he had. If it does, Josh is on board if the Goonies 2 happens. Mm-hmm. He says he wants in because, quote, the experience was so great, the movie is received so well generation after generation, it's just everything good about it. He added, the trepidation that I have is that you release something else that taints the original. Or does it taint the original?
Right, right.
I don't want to taint my memory of it. Mm. Brolin says, 5 scripts have been proposed so far, and none of them were approved. But since the guy with final approval, Steven Spielberg, Brolin isn't really worried about quality.
Right.
He says, quote, if Spielberg approves it, you know it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's good, and I'm glad they've rejected 5 scripts so far, honestly.
Yeah.
They weren't good enough, don't do them.
That's such a positive thing to hear in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, that
100%.
They turned down money, essentially.
Yes, they did.
I like the idea of this. I don't know that it's ever going to go anywhere, but I do like that they're talking about it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But more to the point, that it's okay for something to just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to do something one time.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, you don't have to redo it. You don't have to make a sequel. You don't have to, you know.
I do think it would be fun to do a spinoff, either cartoon or anime, because I think there's so much you could do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really fun.
I like the concept and the idea continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a remake. Just no. You know, anything else they want to do with it, I'm okay with. I'm not one of these people that get mad about them not making new stuff and constantly going back or anything, except for remakes. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a remake that was better than the original. And I've never seen a remake that necessarily gives credit to the original that well. Some right. try, but they don't do a good enough job.
No.
See, we want to know what happened after the pirate ship sailed into the cove. That's the next chapter.
Yeah, there you go.
And if we're going to remake stuff, I feel like we're remaking the wrong things. For one, we should be remaking, if we're going to do it, we should be remaking things that the technology wasn't there at the right. time, and maybe we can update that.
Or it was a good idea, but the execution wasn't. Up to snuff, right? Make a better mm-hmm. version of a film, right?
Or casting things appropriately, like Breakfast for Tiffany's, and actually having maybe not one of the most racist characters of all time
exactly,
in
that. Yeah.
Or you know, how many times we cast a white person as an Indian person, yeah, or a Jewish person, or, right. or something like that. That's the kind of remakes I'd like to see. Now, I just lost half the audience, and I know that, but I'd be honest.
We need to remake Tombstone, then, and there's so many.
Hold up. I mean, Tombstone. We can't remake that. We can't. Is there some stuff that has not aged well? Absolutely. But that just broke my heart when you said that. Like, I know you're you're right though. You're 100% right.
But he's got the nostalgia for that film.
God, yeah. I love that.
Okay, I was thinking of the TV show. What's the TV show that's similar to Tombstone?
Was it Maverick?
No,
not Maverick.
Other than that,
okay. Mm.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Gonna find it.
Hmm. Deadwood or no.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're talking like old TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Old movie. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of.
Well, Wyatt Earp was a TV show for a while, and I don't know if they touched on the gunfight at the OK Corral and that or not, but that was way back in the 50s, so.
I'm your Huckleberry. Such a good movie. We will take a quick time out. Before we do, though, I do want to remind everybody that our open house is just about a week away, a little couple days.
Week and a half, yeah.
Next Wednesday, August 20th, we are going to be opening our doors for both studios and welcoming everybody here. We're going to have a lot of fun. We got a lot of great things lined up for the whole family for this one. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to come on by. We will talk more about this tomorrow and Wednesday and as we get mm-hmm. going here and everything. But a quick reminder again, our open house, our parking lot, party.
Woo!
Wednesday, August 20th. We will kick this off at noon. Isn't that what we're doing?
That's noon to six. Yep. You got it, man.
Noon to six.
Make plans to be here. Everybody, we're looking forward to hanging out with you.
Yes, indeed.
So much fun. And it's Gunsmoke.
Oh,
there
smoke.
You go.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That'll bother
Very
me.
Good.
We'll be back with more coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR. Hope you're having a good start to the week out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you here at 97.5 FM. Mm-hmm. We've got good stories of the day. Going to get into our schedule a little bit later. Looking forward to all that. But right now, we touch on this every year when we get it from our friends over at Nationwide Insurance. We have with us right now the 2025 finalists for the strangest pet insurance claim of the year.
Nationwide is on your side.
Won our quarter there. Won our change there.
I was going to say,
Nationwide.
No free advertising. Thank you very much.
You pay us now. You pay us. Nationwide Insurance released its 2025 Hambone nominees. I love
that's
that.
Name.
Or the strangest ways pets injured themselves in the past year.
Oh, no.
Here are the highlights. And, of course, all of these animals are okay. They all rebounded and they're healing and are healed and are doing okay now. Wash. A mutt in Tennessee that got sick because he wouldn't stop eating cicadas.
Ugh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
His owner doesn't even know how many he ate, but it's all he did every time they let him outside.
Oh, no. Wash. That's not something you want to do.
They're tasty. Come on.
I bet you they are.
Maddie, a bulldog in Virginia that ate a preserved alligator.
My mutt will actually eat anything.
Yes, literally. Wow.
Present preserved alligator.
Yes.
Maddie is a part goat. Maddie. Taxidermist used toxic chemicals, so her owner had to take her in right away.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, everybody. Woo-hoo. Zia, Z-I-Y-A.
Okay.
Zia, a dog in California that came nose to nose with a loose bull while out on a walk.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
He defended his owner and lost a tooth when it kicked him.
Oh, that's too bad. But still.
I mean, you
it's a brave dog.
Well, you survive a fight with a bull and all you got is a loose tooth. I'm bragging about that to every dog I come across, man. Yeah, yeah.
They don't deserve dogs.
If you survive any bull attack, let's say that. Yeah.
You're so right, Melissa.
They're scary. The thing I'm most of animals, I'm not afraid of a lot. Bulls are terrifying.
Yeah.
Because they're big and mean, or they can be, but I mean, it's like,
they're ornery.
They are ornery.
That word describes
to a T. You're right.
To a T.
You know, when it comes to animals that are like certain animals, they look intimidating and just are. I think the same thing you said, the first thing I thought of is a hippo.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like hippos, our whole lives, we've seen them in cartoons and Hunger, Hunger, Hippo and games and everything.
They usually seem benign, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're just sweet animals or whatever. If I ever saw a hippo in the wild, like, I would run from that faster than a bear.
They are
like
aggressive.
A bear, I'm not nearly as scared of a bear as I am them.
Like, the new Jumanji took that completely out of, hippos are not friends.
No.
Yeah.
No, they are not. No.
There's no defense to a hippo. There's nothing
you can
do.
They're big and they're fast. People forget how fast they are because they're related to horses. I mean, it's
Jack
like,
yeah. Black knows.
Hazel, a Great Dane St. Bernard mix. That's got to be interesting.
That's a big dog. Wow.
She's in New Jersey that picked a fight with a groundhog and lost.
Oh.
A bite on her paw earned her a trip to the vet.
Aww.
Should be picking on those groundhogs.
Shouldn't have messed with the groundhog.
Now they can be mean.
Now that groundhog is bragging to all of its groundhog friends.
Oh, it's like, did you see
that horse-sized dog I took on?
And he's over-exaggerating about the size of the dog, but to be fair, he is, you know, he can only look up so far.
Right.
But, you know, he knows how tall that dog was to him. Salem, the only cat in the running this year. Salem's a great name for a cat, by the way. It's a great name.
Got it from Sabrina, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
The name of the cat is Salem. That's well done. Her owner in New York couldn't find one of their AirPods and thought she ate it. The AirPod still hasn't turned up, but she's okay.
Okay, oh. Good. There's a mystery
probably
involved in this
one,
too.
Probably had to go in for an ultrasound.
Yeah. Just to make sure, yeah.
Foxtrot. A Great Dane in Texas that stole a full turkey leg from her owner on Thanksgiving and swallowed it whole.
Oh, my gosh.
The bone had
to be
removed.
Well, they were coming for it. Yeah. The dog had to eat it quick.
Yeah, you got to do it. I mean, that's one of those moments where, I'm more used to this with my kids, where they would do something, and I know I'm supposed to be the adult and get mad at them, but I'm like, that's just impressive. Like, that's just, I don't know how. I've mentioned this one before. My son, when he first started learning to walk, I would, the mornings where we had a routine, and I would have a big, big glass of chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we're sitting there, and I look at like a highlight on ESPN or something like that. I was glanced away for 2-3 seconds. I look back over, and he's in his onesie, and he's got up to his elbow, his whole arm in the chocolate milk, and he pulls it out without really spilling much, and just staring at me the whole time while he's doing this, and I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say to him, and as he's staring at me, he starts sucking the chocolate milk out of the onesie. He knew he couldn't pick up the glass, so he figured out a way to get that chocolate milk.
No, I'm telling you.
And I'm like, I should get mad at him, but I'm just too impressed. I don't know.
It's an interesting straw, bro, but all right.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know why I'm supposed to be mad. There's no parenting book for that.
There really isn't.
I will say one thing, and I don't really have a good reason for this, but I don't like it when people name animals after another animal. Like, you can't name a dog with fox in the title. I don't know.
Something a little bit weird about that.
I don't like it.
Your cat named dog? Yeah.
I mean, it seems almost insulting.
Like, a bird named cat?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. A cat named dog, a dog named cat. We've heard those ones. Yeah.
Cat dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cat dog's awesome. That's a whole different story. Cat dog rules. Duke. A lab retriever mix in Ohio that licks some peanut butter off a spatula and end up swallowing the spatula head.
Oh, no!
Those are detachable.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, that could happen to any one of us.
Yes.
Your mouth is every time I get that spatula in my mouth, it's just a natural reaction to swallow.
We've all been there. I don't know about that. And Havanese. Am I saying that right? A Havanese, I think?
I don't know.
A Havanese in Illinois that ate an entire bouquet of flowers. Ooh. Bella is where we wrap up.
Oh, no.
Bella. Her owner found her covered in pollen.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. On the plus side, had great breath for weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
So, unless they were lilies.
Ooh, yeah. Or lilacs. Ugh.
These are...
Lilacs are gorgeous.
Lilacs are awful.
They're the best.
These are interesting.
I will die on that hill.
Does anybody have any... it doesn't have to be a dog, but a pet memory or an animal memory like this. It's just weird. I feel like I have so many of them. Especially when I worked at the shelter.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah,
there's a lot weird of things. Like strange animal behavior.
Yeah.
Just weird. Weird. Sammy, our fur dog, one of the things that I've noticed with him, where he will, he hasn't done this in years and years and years, but when we first got him, he would show up and hey, where'd you get that toy? Hey, and especially, this is weird, my parents only have one set of neighbors on the other side. Mm-hmm. There's no house over there. So in the house where when we first got Sam, there was nobody living there. So it's not like he was stealing toys from the neighbor's dog or something like that. Like, to this day, we are not sure where these toys came from.
Oh.
It happened two or three times. All I could think is that he just wanted to make himself a mail-off. I don't know if he just wanted to...
He's an entrepreneur. You can't blame him.
All I'm going to say, man, is you are lucky, because our dog brought home dirty diapers. She brought home almost entire deer carcasses.
Yeah, Prince would do that.
I've heard of the animal that will bring the
from the gut pile from the person, the deer hunter.
Yeah.
You know, would just throw the offal.
Ours would just roll in it and then come home.
No, she would bring skulls back. We had these large deer legs, in our yard. It's like, come on, dog, man, come on.
Well, actually, Prince was such a reddish gold color as a golden retriever that we had to tie him up during deer season because he looked like a deer.
Yep. Yes.
We were afraid of him getting shot.
100% had to do the same thing with our dog. She was golden. Her name was Sunshine, which gives you an idea of what her color was. So, yeah, we had to do the same thing. And she was just about the right size, too. She was a bigger dog. Yes. We had to make sure she was tied up for hunting season.
In the dog's defense in all of this, it's not as if they've got a credit card. If they want to get us a gift, they only got so much to work with.
That's fair. That's fair. I brought you this dead deer because I love you.
Yeah. It's a form of love. It's a form of love.
Love language is stinky.
I will tell anybody, any young daters out there, don't try this. Do not try this. It does not work.
But I brought you a fish. Don't you want?
It's a fish. Yeah. Do not try it.
Dead and rotten, but it's a sign of love.
Trust me on this one. If you take any dating advice from me, and you probably shouldn't, this is the one.
I think you're good on that one. I think you're okay. Yeah.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Morning show on WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Thanks for listening, everybody. I think I was trying to say listening and joining at the same time. My brain was when you're two people are trying to go through a door at the same time. Both words were trying to jump through.
It happens.
It's a Monday.
Yeah.
We got to get into our schedule, some good stories going on in our area here, and of course some events that we're going to be at, we're looking forward to and everything. We've really been enjoying this summer, being out and about and doing some things in town and everything. It's been a lot of fun.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very fun.
Do want to say a big thank you to, of course, our sales team. We say a shout out to them. We say a shout out to our staff. We are a small staff, these events take a lot of people, and I'm impressed with the work that has been done by this team. So a shout out to everybody. And of course, a big thank you to these businesses that have hosted us and all of that.
Yeah, great stuff.
And all our listeners. It's fun to meet people when we're out and about.
Yes. Yeah, it's a blast. We love it.
We do enjoy it.
We also appreciate the way you guys have supported some of the changes that have gone on here in the last couple of months. One of the bigger ones, of course, the Rapids Report that has been turned into a complete podcast, and you can catch it at WFHR.com. Just go under our shows, and you'll see it over there with that. Check it out. The popularity of the show has not dipped. If anything, it's gotten stronger. Mm-hmm. We really, really, really appreciate that, everybody.
Yes, we do.
I put a lot of work into that show. I know Laura puts a lot of production into that show, and our guests put a ton into these shows.
Yes.
So we really, really, really appreciate that. We got a new episode for you today. Be sure to head on over to WFHR.com and check it out. We're going to be talking, we're putting our spotlight on Nakusa. Our good friend Heather Sayre is going to be joining us.
Oh, yay!
Talking about the circus coming to Nakusa.
Yeah, on Saturday. That's right.
The C&M Circus.
An honest-to-goodness circus. Yeah. Wow.
A real circus, big top and everything. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about this. Old
school. I want to watch Water for Elephants this weekend.
Oh, good one.
This week.
When it comes to
circus. Sorry, it's such a good book. That's the first thing I think of when I think of circuses. That's a good one.
It's funny. I think of Big Fish. I think of the movie Big
Fish. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's right away I do. Deep I don't know. Cut. It's such a good movie. Such a good movie.
And there's another book, Night Circus. If you've never read it, it's amazing.
Sounds good. I'd check that one out. Sounds good. Looking at our sports schedule, playmakers. That's it.
That's it. This is one of those rare weeks, everyone, that we don't have any sports on either station. And that happens like twice a year, I think. That's it. Because next
all right,
week,
so James, I'm gonna need a blog from you for the newsletter this week.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's nothing to put in the sports section of our newsletter. So can you just write something up for me?
You got it.
All right.
Just thanks. A bunch of jargon. Just actually, it doesn't matter. I could always come up with something to say about sports, and I know Michael could too. Seth, Michael, they'll be joining me throughout the week this week on Playmakers at different times, and we'll be talking, getting people ready for the football season. Of course, but also the high school sports season.
Yes, which starts the 21st.
Yeah.
Yes, it's coming.
Are you ready for some football?
Nicely done. I think it's nice. I think I'm alone today, so I think it's just a solo show, but I'm not completely alone. I got all of you. Get your sports takes
all
and thoughts ready.
By myself.
Nice. Wow.
You come full circle.
Yeah, nice.
Nice callback.
Get ready to join us on 105.5 WIRI for Playmakers Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 4 to 5. We speak sport. Thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsor in that segment. We appreciate them. We appreciate the blood drives that we have in the area. We've got one coming up on the 12th. That'll be right on tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Going on over at Camp Sacagawea at 3910 Chestnut Street. Going on from noon to 5 right over there. Check that out. A big thank you to Camp and everybody over there hosting that. Mm-hmm. And if you can't make that one, maybe you can on Wednesday then. The ODC at 1191 Huntington Avenue is hosting a blood drive. That's from 10 to 3.
All right. Nice. Very good.
And we have more opportunities coming up through the month. We'll be getting to those as we get closer to them. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Seth, you got something else going on Tuesday.
Oh, we do. It's the final Gather by the Bandshell in Rome, everyone. It goes from 5:30 to 7. Bring your family for food, entertainment, and family-friendly yard games. Sponsors U.S. Bank. The food is provided for purchase by Chatterbox, our good friends over there. And, of course, the ubiquitous Bob Allen will be... He makes his rounds every summer, I swear to God.
He sure does.
He hits all of the main things, and we love Bob. So head on down to the Geneva Trail in Rome, everyone. It is at the Rome Town Center. Gather by the Bandshell, the final one of the summer, coming up tomorrow from 5:30 to 7. And then, as James mentioned, Bridge to Bridge coming up on Saturday. This is the big fundraiser for the Southwood County YMCA. It's a 5K race and a 1K fun run slash walk. It's race starts at about 8:30, so you can register either beforehand or at the day of the race. It doesn't matter which one you want to do. Awards begin at about 9:30. And this is for all ages. And we're going to be there. We're going to have a broadcast early on in WIRI. So stay tuned for that. We'll have more details as the week goes along here. But we will be there and broadcasting live.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to do a live remote in a while.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be a part
of this.
It's
going to be good.
And this is certainly one of the better events we have in our area. This is a big fundraiser. This is a big opportunity for the Y to be able to do a lot of the good that they do throughout the year. One of my favorite things whenever we're talking with our members, our friends from the Y, is how their membership for all.
Yeah.
And making sure that anybody in this town that wants to get to that Y is able to, thanks to the funds that they collect throughout events like this.
Yeah.
It's also one of the more fun events we have, where I think it combines so much of, you know, bringing people like our good friend JR, shout out to JR out there, who'll probably be racing it.
Oh, he'll be there.
Taking it seriously. As much as people out there that are just there to have fun and just you know, get some exercise in. I know I've talked to, you know, because we've covered this every year, as long as I've been here. And every year I talk to people, and when the event comes up, I'll talk to people about it, but not just people from the Y. I'll have a guest come in, and they'll just bring it up. Oh, I know I'll see so-and-so at that event or something.
Exactly.
It's a fun one.
Yep.
Brings
the community together.
Yeah, exactly.
And we will be at Lunch by the River this Thursday. Be sure to join us for that Lunch by the River. We only got three more of these left, and one of them is this Thursday, the 14th, along with Paper City Savings. We'll be sponsoring this week's. You'll have Manic on Tuesday down there. That's going to be a lot of fun, along with some of our favorite food.
Yes, always.
We're looking forward to that broadcast. It's going to be a fun that event. We'll be down there. We'll check that out, everybody. Looking forward to it. I did have some world good stories I wanted to touch on. A guy in Indiana named Alex Babick may have set a new world record with a sunflower that's over 30 feet tall.
Holy mackerel.
Wow.
The current record of 30 feet 1 inch was set by a guy in Germany back in 2014. Alex is still waiting on Guinness to confirm, but but says his is 6 inches taller.
Whoa.
And it certainly it certainly looks like it. It certainly looks like it's taller.
Is it braced up? Or is it just standing freestanding?
He's got a little, like, almost like a tower around. Like
he does,
like
yes.
An electrical tower almost. It looks like. It's wooden, but it looks like an electrical
tower. It looks like something that you do vines on and stuff like that. But because otherwise, there would be
it'd
no
just tip
way.
Over.
Yeah, it was to say it could be 30 feet tall without help because it would, it'd be too top heavy. But
that thing is incredible.
But still, that's really cool. That's amazing.
Yeah, wow.
I didn't know that I did not know that. I didn't know they could grow that tall.
That's right.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that?
I've seen regularly like 16 feet tall ones. I think the trick is, how do you keep the birds from eating it as they fly by?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
There's food way up here. What?
That's a good one.
Yep.
It's been a good show. Great job, you two.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Good Monday.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Again, get over to WFHR.com and check out some of our other shows. Check those out, download them, and share them on your web pages as well. And, of course, get over there to sign up for that WFHR newsletter. Got a new edition showing up for you this week. Be on the lookout for that. And be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later right here.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.